This tape will become part of the Scandinavian Immigrant Experience Collection at Pacific Lutheran University. Today's date is January 1st, 1981, and the interview is taking place in my grandmother's home in Burlingame, California. And my name is Scott Irving Lawler, and my grandmother's name is Tova Ott, right?
Yeah, I don't know if this is a Barfoot one.
Okay, Tova Barfoot Ott.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And what name were you born with?
Tova Barfoot. Tova Fall Barfoot.
Tova.
See, Fall was after my grandfather.
On your mother's
just
side.
Just like, yeah, you had the Irving, you know. So I have the F-O-T-H, but I don't use that anymore.
Okay.
You
that's on your birth certificate then?
No, my citizen paper, no, my citizen paper is only Tova Ott.
Tova Ott.
Yeah.
Okay. But, then, when you were, 20 or so, you married Mr. Peterson?
Yeah.
And so then you became Tova Peterson?
Barfoot Peterson. See, he was my cousin.
Okay, Tova
Barfoot Peterson. Yeah.
And then, when he died, and you met Mr. Ott, your name became Tova Ott.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. When and where were you born?
In Denmark.
And where in Denmark were you born? Copenhagen?
No, in Jutland.
Oh, in Jutland.
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Where in Jutland?
Up north.
Do you remember the town?
Aalborg, Sønderhavn, near Aalborg.
Oh, okay. Aalborg is a big city,
mm-hmm.
Pretty big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's outside there.
Mm-hmm.
So when were you born?
June
25th, 1896. 1896. What were your parents' names?
My mother's name was Emily Fault, F-O-T-H. And my father's name was Tristan Barfoot.
And your mother was a housewife.
Mm-hmm.
And your father did what?
Was a minister. Was a minister.
And where did he practice his ministry?
In a small town outside Copenhagen.
And what was the name of that town?
Jørlund, that's where you were.
Jørlund.
That's where you were.
Is that near?
It's near Roskilde. It's three Danish miles from Roskilde, so that would be 12 American miles.
Near the Frederiksborg Castle?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, what was your father like? What were his characteristics? We've talked about him before.
Well, he was very outgoing,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't matter who he came in touch with, he could talk to anybody, and he always had advice if he came for advice, he could always give him advice.
Mm-hmm. Was that important in his...
Sometimes.
Many people come to your house? And
yes, and he would go out and visit them,
mm-hmm.
On a bicycle.
On a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
Did he have a big car?
No, I really don't know how many people... I really don't know.
Mm-hmm. When these people came to your home, what did your mother do? Was she bothered by all these people?
Oh, no, because he had his office up, but they came to see him and tell him about things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What was your mother like?
She was very, very interested in good literature. She
mm-hmm.
loved that. She loved to read.
Mm-hmm.
And she played the piano beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. And what I would call a very refined person.
Did she play the piano often?
No, not too often. She had her handwriting in there.
What did she play when she played?
Chopin, a Beethoven, and
oh, really?
Chopin, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like Chopin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, that's right.
Well, how many children were in your family?
We were two boys and two girls.
And what were their names? Your siblings, what were their names?
My oldest father's name was Rotmo Valdemar Fowl Barfoot.
How do you spell the first name?
V-O-L-M-E-R.
He was the oldest one.
Mm-hmm.
And then who was it?
And then Cat. K-A-J. Cat Fowl Barfoot.
That was the other brother?
No. That was our father.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sister, her name was Louisa Johanna Fowl Barfoot.
Mm-hmm. Louisa Johanna?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're the youngest one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Do you remember your grandparents?
Only my mother's father. He was the only one that I saw had passed away before I was born.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be your more father.
Yeah, right.
And what was he like?
Oh, boy. He was wonderful. Their business life. He was the president of Northern Cadillac.
I see.
Yeah.
He started the company.
No, I don't think. I don't know if he started. No, he didn't start it, but he became president of the company up there.
The Mine Cadillac.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the only place in the world it's found Cadillac
in Greenland.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what they use Cadillac for?
Well, they used it for different things. Now, what was the first thing was aluminum, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you heard that too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what they use it for. Okay, well, why don't we go on and discuss when you came to America, when you immigrated there?
1923.
And how old were you?
Did you figure that out?
23, you were 27 years old.
Was it that old?
Yeah.
From 18, no, okay.
You were born in 1896.
Yeah.
And that's 4 years plus the 23, so you were 24.
Yeah, okay.
Did you travel with anybody?
No, anything? I was all alone. But I met a lot of people naturally on the ship, but I didn't count them.
Were they all Danish?
I believe so, yes. Mm-hmm.
Was it a Danish ship?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it sailed from Copenhagen?
Yes.
To New York?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, before you came, you had been married.
Yes.
Right? When were you married?
In 1916.
So you were 20 years old?
Mm-hmm.
And, then my mother was born in 1917.
Yeah.
And you were married to Mr. Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened to Mr. Peterson?
He died when your mother was 6 months old.
And
heart failure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So for many years then you were left a widow,
mm-hmm,
with a child.
Mm-hmm.
And was that part of the reason why you came to America?
Partly, yeah. Then I worked for a while like you would say, Western Union here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I met Annie.
Was that in Copenhagen?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you live in Copenhagen?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With my mother?
No, she was staying with an uncle of mine that didn't have any children. So he said that he would take her while I worked. And then when I was decided to come over here, then Elizabeth's mother, my sister,
mm-hmm,
said that she could stay there.
I see. Well, when you came to America, what were the conditions like in Denmark?
Well, they were pretty good. It was pretty good. I was just that lonesome and unhappy and wanted to see what I could do.
Were you just more or less curious about what?
Well, I guess you would say that. Yeah, I guess you would say that.
Was the economic conditions, were they?
They were all right.
They were okay,
yeah,
in Denmark?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You were making good money,
yeah,
in Copenhagen?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What were you doing in Western Union? Well, it wasn't Western Union, but
no,
it was
the
Telegraph
office. No, but
office,
yeah. I was showing on Telegram that they have to have in staff there for the certain days, and they have to be in number and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I met Annie. That's why I met Annie.
And you know
the in the office there.
Yeah, Annie Colton?
Yeah, but of course her name wasn't Colton at that time. That was her name was Newman at that time.
And she's still a good friend of yours.
Yeah.
Now
mm-hmm.
doing
mm-hmm. So then she came over here. Then she left the office
mm-hmm.
and left me there alone.
mm-hmm.
And then she came over here and then she wrote me, because Sandra, and then she wrote me and she said, I wish that you could come over here. You would do good over here,
mm-hmm.
but don't take Gertrude along to Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
So that was how I really.
So that was her idea then?
That was really her idea, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was really her idea.
So you started working at that office in Copenhagen. In 1919.
Yeah.
And when did Annie come to America?
I think in 21.
Okay, so
yeah.
A couple of years after.
Yeah.
And then you worked at that office in Copenhagen from 1919 to about 1927?
Something like that, yeah.
So
no, not 27, not because I was.
Or 1923, I
think. Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you came in 1923,
yeah.
you left my mother with your aunt.
Yeah, with my sister.
With her aunt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And was at this time when Annie was in America, was she in California at this time?
No, not at that time. She was in Chicago.
Oh. So she came to New York in 1919, and then went to Chicago.
Yeah, she came in. I think she had to come over here in 21. I think Annie
yeah.
came over in 21.
Okay,
21. Something like that.
Okay, when you came to America, did you know anybody here?
No. I didn't know so.
When you came, who did you meet? You had sponsors here.
Yes, and they met me at the ship and I stayed with them.
How did you meet the sponsors? Or how did you get sponsors? Who were they?
Their father, the man that met me
mm-hmm.
and his wife, the man that met me, had a brother that was married to my sister.
They had a son who was married to your sister?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Yeah, when I was going to the United States, and I didn't know just how to go about it,
mm-hmm.
then I talked to my father-in-law, in other words, my sister's husband, and he said, I have a father in New York, which I knew, of course,
mm-hmm.
and I'll write him and ask him if he will take care of two when she comes over, which he did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the two boys that I'm so trying to right now.
I see. And
they
live in Virginia? Yeah.
No, they live in Staten Island, New York.
Okay.
At that time. At the town, so yeah. The boys don't.
So you left Denmark, you left Copenhagen on April.
In June 14th.
June 14th, 1923.
Mm-hmm.
And you took 11 days here.
Yeah.
And you got here on June 25th.
That's right.
1923, which was your 27th birthday.
Yeah.
Nice. When you came to New York, how long were you in New York? How long did you stay with these people?
About 6 weeks.
About 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel on the day that you left Copenhagen?
I don't know. I can't remember. I can't remember.
You weren't excited, or
no? I know that I have to do something to make a life for myself.
Mm-hmm. Were you afraid?
No. No. I wasn't afraid. I just I just don't think it's going to come out all right.
It's been all the time. You're undaunted. What sort of things did you bring with you when you came?
Well, just a few personal things, like pictures of family and friends and some books and stuff.
Did you bring many clothes with you?
Well, just a few, I believe. Just a few.
Just enough things that you could carry?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, whose picture did you bring with you?
Well, that I don't remember. That I don't remember. But I suppose my a girl for one. Mm-hmm. And all family pictures.
Were
and
you?
And friends. I
were you afraid of leaving my mother here? Or
no, I felt a bit uneasy about the whole situation, but I knew things were going to come out all right. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy for having her there.
Was she with you at Copenhagen when you left?
No, no. Mm-hmm.
Was she upset that you were going?
No, I don't think she realized it.
Yeah. How old was she?
Let's see, she came over here in 27. She came in 27, and I came in 23, and she was born in 17.
So she was 6 years old when you left.
Yeah, but I don't think she realized it.
And then when she came over 4 years later, she was 10 years old.
10 and a half, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Mm-hmm.
What do you remember about the trip over?
Oh, nothing.
Did you meet many people?
Yeah. Well, naturally you would.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't any idea where they are now.
Did you talk with the people as you on the boat?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They had all kind of entertainment and so on.
Did they tell you why they were coming to America?
No, because some of them had been home on a visit.
Uh-huh.
I remember that there was one fellow that was coming to San Francisco, and he told me that you never had to have any heat in San Francisco. That all the stuff from me, and I thought, what a liar he is. So he.
But he lived here. Yeah.
He lived here. Yeah, he had been home on a visit. Yeah, mm-hmm. He had been home on a visit.
Do you remember how much the trip cost?
No, that I haven't any idea. To pay for that, I haven't any idea what that cost.
Well, what sort of problems did you have when you first got to New York?
I really didn't have any. I was just determined that I was. They were so nice to me, those people.
These people who sponsored you.
Yeah, they were so nice to me and said, "You can stay with us until you get your bearing and you know what you want to do."
Mm-hmm.
It was so wonderful to me.
And you stayed with them for 6 weeks.
Yeah, I stayed with them until August. Then I got a job.
Oh, and you moved out?
I moved out, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And where did you move to?
I got a job as a baby, taking care of a baby. That was about, I don't know how old it was, 15 months old, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents were, this was their turn, they had an ad in the table.
Mm-hmm.
And so, this Mrs. Armstrong called up and asked about if that I was there and so forth. So she arranged for us to come and see him. So he did, and I didn't do that very good in English. So the lady said to Mrs. Armstrong, she doesn't talk very much English, and she said, no, she doesn't, but she'll pick up. So naturally I picked up.
And so you lived with these people?
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Taking care of
the boy, yeah.
The little boy.
Mm-hmm. And I stayed there from August till March.
Mm-hmm.
And then, in the meantime, Annie was out here in California.
Mm-hmm.
So she wired me. Didn't I tell you that already?
Yeah, well, tell me again.
She wired me and said that there was. She was working in a boys' school in Palo Alto.
Mm-hmm.
And she wired me and said that there was a job open there. And she would like me to come out to California. But I didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So this Mr. Hansel, he said to wire her back and say, on the side of it. I didn't even understand it. So, anyhow, he took care of it and wired her back and forth. So So then, finally we decided that I should come. So then I lied and said I didn't have any money. But then she said she would send me money.
Mm-hmm.
Which she did. So then I left the people that I was working for.
When was that?
That was in 24. I arrived here in Palo Alto in April 24.
So you worked for these people in New York from August?
From August to March.
To March.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you moved out here.
Mm-hmm.
And Annie sent you the money to travel.
Yeah.
How did you come to California from New York?
By train. By train.
Do you remember how long it took you? Or?
No, that I don't.
When you got here, when you got to California, what did you first do? Was it the
I started work immediately.
At that boys' school?
Yeah.
In Palo Alto?
Yeah.
Where she was working?
Yeah. We became very good friends with the people, and we are still good friends.
Huh.
With people working there.
Yeah. Well, where did you live when you first got here?
I lived at the school.
Oh, I see.
I had my own home there.
Okay.
And then, the people, it was, I don't know why they called him Colonel, I guess he had been in the army, but anyhow, it was a Colonel Kelly that had the school.
Mm-hmm.
And he was at our wedding, not at my wedding,
mm-hmm.
and also he was my witness, you know, you have to have two witnesses when you become a citizen. So he was one witness.
Who was the other witness for you?
I mean, Mrs. that was an old landlady that Morphard had years ago, and she was my other witness.
Mm-hmm.
That
when you came on the train, what city did you come to? San Francisco?
No, it's Palo Alto. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, how long did it take you to learn English when you first got here?
Well, I said about six. Well, I don't know. I guess when I met Morphe, I did pretty good.
When you were working in New York as the governess?
Well, then I picked it up because we only spoke English, and of course, when I worked with the Homestead, we were talking English.
Oh, okay.
So when I started taking care of the baby there, well, then I had to.
Mm-hmm.
But it was tough. It was tough.
Wasn't there a story about when you were working in New York, the lady that you were working for, she wanted you to be back at a certain time.
Yeah, with the work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How did that go? What happened?
Well, she told me she'd be back at 3:30, but well, I didn't know what 3:30 meant. So she showed me on her watch.
Uh-huh.
And I had a watch myself. So she said, when your watch is there, then you'll find your baby back with the day.
Oh, I see. Did you ever go to school here?
No, only one window, once a week, a few months before I became a citizen.
What sort of things did you learn?
Well, just about the government and quite a bit, right, quite a bit in Senate and what have you.
The things you still learn, information you still use today?
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you like most about America?
Well, that's a tough question. Well, I think the beauty of it. The beauty of it. The scenery in the different states and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Have you traveled around America very much?
Well, we took a few trips. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Last one, I went to Death Valley,
mm-hmm.
to the front of mine for 4 days. But I would say that the beauty of the different states.
Are you an American citizen?
Yes.
When did you become an American citizen?
1926. I forgot the name.
You took those classes.
Yeah, mm-hmm, and high school, yeah.
All about
the government.
The government.
Yeah.
And then you had to take a test?
Yes, questions.
And then you had to have some witnesses,
yeah, mm-hmm,
for that.
So they had known me that I was all right.
And you were sworn in?
Yeah, mm-hmm, in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Did you know more for it at that time?
Yeah, sure, I became citizen after I was married to him. And I became a citizen sooner because he was born in this country.
Okay. How did you meet Martha?
Well, that was through Annie's sister. Annie's sister had a boyfriend that worked for Western Union here. Well, at that time it was Postal Telegraph Company, but that's years ago, it's all going out for Western Union. And he was a good friend of Morpha. They had an apartment together and went fishing and hunting and had a car together and so on. So she was going out with him on a Saturday night, and then she called Annie and said that it would be a good idea for me to come up to the city and meet his guy,
mm-hmm,
which was Morpha.
Now, Annie came to America.
Yeah.
When did Annie's sister come to America?
Well, she came earlier. That's why Annie came over here originally. She came over here. And on the way over here, of course, that has nothing to do with me, but on the way over here, she met a Norwegian doctor.
Mm.
And they got married. And then they had a baby, and that's just Louise.
Oh.
And when Louise was 3 months old, I don't think he was quite finished with his studies or something like that. He had been a doctor in the Philippines for many years. I never met the man, but anyhow, he was going to take a course someday. So they arranged that she should go to Denmark with a baby, which she did, and she shouldn't have done. Anyhow, so she came to Denmark and stayed for a whole year with that 3-month-old baby. And when she came back, the husband had met an old sweetheart of his.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a lot of trouble there. So then she asked Annie if she couldn't come over and help her and so forth and so on.
Hmm.
So that was how Annie came over.
Hmm. How long after you met Morpha?
Did you get married? Well, I think I met him in May 24 and we got married on March 25th in 1925.
So about a year. So tell me about Morpha. What was he like?
Well, you remember him. Well, you don't remember him.
What was he like in 1925?
Well, he was at that time very interested in he was always interested in sports.
Mm-hmm.
Always interested in sports. And would still like to go fishing and so forth for that time. But and he was very interested in government, politics. So I guess I inherited that from him because I am too.
Mm-hmm.
Politics, and he loved to read. And we would sit and discuss things. Oh, I miss him so many times. I want to ask things, you know.
Ask him what he would think about things that are happening now in politics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did now when you met him, he was working for Western Union.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he worked with them until he retired.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he retired when?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't remember. I think he died in 67. He must have retired in 62, I would say.
What was his full name?
Mine is William Ott.
M-I-N-E-T.
M-I-N-E-T?
Mm-hmm. And where was he from?
Illinois.
Do you know how he came to
California?
Yeah.
I think that was, he was transferred out here. I think that he worked for Western Union, a postal telegraph at that time.
I see.
In Idaho and other places. People I know him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was transferred out here.
Do you remember how old he was when you met him?
Well, he was the same age.
Oh.
He was the same age.
Hmm.
So his sister is still, he has one sister, but I'm still in contact with her.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know.
What's the upper boulders in the sun? Okay, Mormor, can you tell me something about your children and your grandchildren? Why don't we start off first with your daughter, my mother. What was she like? What was her name?
Gertrude.
Gertrude what?
Gertrude Barber Peterson.
Gertrude
Barber Peterson.
What?
She arrived in this country, can I say that?
Mm-hmm.
She arrived in this country when she was 10 and a half years old.
And she didn't speak any?
She didn't speak any English.
Mm-hmm.
But she picked it up rather quickly.
Did she learn language quicker than you? Was it easy for her?
I would say she did, yeah. I think she did.
Why do you think she did that?
Well, it's more fun that time, right?
Mm-hmm. And what sort of girl was she when she was 10 and a half? Did she get in a lot of trouble? Or?
No, she didn't get in a lot of
trouble. Was she intimidated by the new country that she was in?
Well, she was very anxious to learn the boat book, or the kind of captain.
Mm-hmm. Did she like being here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Did she make friends with her?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Very easily. She had a great personality.
But I suppose she had to make friends after she learned the language.
Yes, mm-hmm. And in school, she was very popular in school.
What was her occupation when she left home? What did she do?
Well, she was just a child, you know.
But later.
What?
Later, when she was 18, 19
years old. Oh, well, then, first of all, I went to see she worked in a store for a short time.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was a guy that went to high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then, she worked at a doctor's home here in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And took care of a baby there. And that doctor became interested in her, and he wanted her to do something else in the long run. And he became interested in her for nursing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got her into more or less, she put in different applications at different hospitals. But finally, she decided on St. Luke's Hospital in San Francisco. And that was partly on account of this doctor. I forgot his name now. So anyhow, so she was here for 3 years.
At St. Luke's Training Unit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She was here for 3 years.
Had she, before that time, had many thoughts about becoming a nurse? Or?
No, I don't think so. I think it's good gradually.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good gradually.
And when was that she graduated from St. Luke's then?
So that must have been in, that must have been in 39, 40, 41, 42. She was 42. I can't quite remember.
During the Second World War?
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how did she meet my father?
She met him in Spokane.
Spokane.
I think they made up in Spokane to start with. She was transferred to Pasadena. I don't know if your daughter was ever down
there. What was she doing in Spokane?
But in the meantime, she became a military. After she was out of training,
mm-hmm.
Then for a while she worked at St. Luke's Hospital as an RN.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, I don't know how that happened, she got into the service.
Okay.
To the army, see?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, where did she go? And where did she go out from the army to get to war? I don't remember. It was the first place I wasn't in. But anyhow, I know that she was in Spokane and she met her dad up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, she was transferred down to Pasadena. And then after that, she got married. And then the guy went to Germany. I guess it was that married.
They went to Germany?
No. No, she couldn't go along with him. He went over there to see if that married in February. And,
February of what?
1945. Mm-hmm.
Right before the end of the war.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went over in May, I believe, to Germany.
Oh, I see. Before the occupation.
Well, the servant in Berlin, and of course the U.S. There than anything in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
There wasn't any milk in Berlin, okay.
Well, that may be. But I mean, outside, I was at a house, and she got a major with another paper.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you have how many grandchildren?
Two.
And who are they?
That's the Brian.
Okay. And can you tell me what they're doing now?
Thank you. Yeah, I don't know what that means. Landscaping, what do you say?
Right.
That was in landscaping.
And he's living in Tacoma, right?
In Tacoma, yeah.
Okay, and then I'm living in Tacoma.
Yeah.
And I'm a student.
Yeah.
At PLU, and I'm also working at the women's prison.
Yeah.
Okay, and what about Brian?
And Brian, goes to high school, I suppose.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'd like to ask you if, when you came to America, if you've noticed, you know, in bringing up, you know, and living in family situations with my father and my mother, what were the values like? Did you notice the values that people held here in America were different than what you were used to in Denmark?
No, I can't say. You know, they all happy living together, too. Like, you went to school, you went to college.
Were there any disagreements between you and Martha as to how to discipline?
No.
Who was mostly responsible for discipline?
I think he was.
He was.
Yeah, I think he was. But we never had any arguments or misunderstandings about anything. We got along well enough. It's all about the same.
Martha worked with Western Union,
mm-hmm,
until he retired.
Yeah, and I think he retired in 72 or around there. I'm 6 months old again.
Mm-hmm. How old was he when he retired?
Well, I'm 72. He would have been 85 now, I'm just saying.
And Martha retired in 62. 1962, and
about that, yes.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So he was about 66 years old.
Something
then.
Like that, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you work at all while you were married?
Only before your mother went to nursing school, because it was going to, well, not the passion, but I didn't meet that much nursing. I wanted to leave it there, because she, you have to pay to get it. I don't know. We paid very, very little.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, now conditions are all the very different.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow,
you paid little for schooling?
For schooling, yeah. But I worked, I presented a little, what do you call it, money every week. Spending money.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right.
What did you do to make that money?
I went out to people's houses and churches and that in Ireland and stuff.
Can you tell me how you got those jobs?
Well, one of the offers was through the paper,
uh-huh,
the newspaper, and they have an ad in that we prefer the Scandinavian.
The preferred Scandinavian.
Yeah. And that's how I got a closer to the person that threw that something on in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the shutdown at that time, and he came very, very good friend.
Why do you suppose the preferred Scandinavian to do that sort of thing?
Well, you have a good reputation for being good workers.
Uh-huh. How does that make How does that make you feel?
Good, very good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always been proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's going to really have a good reputation there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said that you know men and women who have immigrated from Denmark.
Yeah.
You're
also very much financially unmarried. You can never have it possibly do nothing, but they have their education from Hanover College. One was a painter, one was a carpenter, and
they have trades.
Trades
that they brought with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that men had it easier in America than the women? Because they had trades or for any other reason?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
When you came to America, you didn't have a trade or
No. I think you know how to take care of kids in that trade. Like this old guy. When I came to Staten Island, New York,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it was all new to me.
That must have been difficult for you.
Yeah, it was on account of the language, man.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it for
that. When you came to America, was the system of medical care any different than you were used to in Denmark?
Well, I really don't know. My father paid for whatever sickness, whatever medical care. He paid for the whole family.
How is medical care distributed to people in Denmark when you were there?
Well, they have to pay so much a year, so much a month, and then they would get treatment. Similar to Medicare,
Does, when you start when you're in Denmark,
who did
you pay that to?
Well, my father paid it off, and after I...
Who did he pay it to?
Well, I guess the government, so I don't know. But after I left home, I don't think I had any
when you were in Denmark, did they have a main hospital that you went to, or?
Yeah, it's just like the entire country. But fortunately, I never, except when the mother was born, I went to a clinic, a private clinic.
Mm-hmm. Is that in Copenhagen?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you spent any time in a hospital here in America?
No, only when I had my eye operation, that's when I was just there for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. What about your tonsils?
Yeah, I had done that. I only worked on one day for my tonsils. In San Francisco, in a small hospital, yeah.
What about morphine? Did he spend any time in the hospital?
No, he and your mother and I had our chances out the same year.
Mm-hmm.
Funny enough, by the same doctor.
Hmm.
But your mother and I, we went to the same hospital here in San Francisco.
What hospital was that?
Well, it wasn't there anymore. It's called Southern Hospital. It wasn't there anymore. Just a small one. And there was a doctor in Birmingham that took the chance of that. But North, I went to a hospital down in San Antonio, Mills Hospital in San Antonio. Mills Hospital, yeah.
Why did anyone have the chance of that?
Yeah, I forgot. But North, I had something else. It was an old sort of that what it was. And then they decided to do that. And I guess definitely now I was at sore throat. I don't know that.
You had one?
I saw a sore throat. Oh. I forgot that one.
So you don't remember any particular home remedies that you used?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay, what about Christmas?
But I told you that.
Really?
At Christmas Eve, we started by going to church.
Mm-hmm.
And then we...
This was in Denmark.
Yeah, this was in Denmark. And then when we came home, we had dinner. We were old schools, all pork.
Mm-hmm.
White cabbage. And potatoes. And then we had the rice pudding.
Mm-hmm. What about the rice pudding?
That's an old tradition, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
And I still use that.
You put
an almond in each individual dish.
Uh-huh.
And whoever gets the almond gets a small prize, a small gift. It's a very tiny gift, a very well, whatever it is, a kind of gift, whoever it is.
What sort of gifts did you give to the winner?
A little package of candy.
Uh-huh. Who usually got the
almond? Different people.
Did you continue that sort of thing here in America?
Uh-huh, yeah, Martha was very much of that. Oh yeah, I always did. I do this like Christmas.
Every Christmas.
And Anne got it. Yeah.
What did she win this last Christmas?
I got her small bottle of whiskey.
Oh. Okay. Can you say anything else about how you celebrate Christmas?
No, then Christmas Day we would all go to church and have a very cool.
Go to church again?
Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Christmas Day and the day after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And we do the same at Easter time.
So when is Christmas in Denmark?
When the big celebration is Christmas Eve. That's what the Danes call it, the big Christmas Eve. Because here they say, Christmas is Christmas Day,
mm-hmm.
and after Christmas Day is over, but I never felt like that.
Mm-hmm.
I always felt like Christmas was a holiday, more was a holiday until after New Year's. That was my, and it still is, it still is.
Mm-hmm. It seems as if the church played a big part during Christmas.
Yes, it is, it is. Mm-hmm.
What were the Christmas services like?
Well, there were Christmas trees and candles in the church,
mm-hmm.
and special, yeah, special service for God.
Coming from a family, your father was the minister of the parish there.
Yeah.
It must have been a big event.
Yeah, it was.
Christmas.
And he said one Christmas anyhow. When he finished up, he said, now all of us are going home to our homes and celebrate Christmas and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, don't forget the dog.
The dog?
The dog, yeah. If you ever have a dog, there's a dog who should have sent a little egg from Christmas Eve. And I told that to Elizabeth, but she thought that was so funny. But he didn't, he said that I knew too.
Because
that would make him very popular, you know.
With the dogs. Okay, when you came from Denmark to America, was Christmas celebrated the same for you?
No. Mm-mm. I thought my roommate was at Christmas Eve, the first Christmas I was here.
Mm-hmm. But after you got married, did you continue to celebrate?
Yes, after I came out to the California.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, then I continued. Mm-hmm.
But would you go to church on Christmas Eve?
Yeah. No. Mm-mm. No. Yes, I did 1 year, and it was so long and drawn out, and I just couldn't do it.
Mm.
I just couldn't do it.
So, you really haven't been active in the church?
No, yet. No.
Do you know why?
No, because the church is over here, the ceremony, the service was a different thing. That I was used to in Denmark. I never could get used to it.
When you did go to church, what sort of congregation was it?
In here?
Yeah, was it an English-speaking congregation?
Oh, yes. Oh, sure. I went to the only time I went was in the Christmas year. And as I say, it was so far out. And it was very beautiful. It had Canada's and Christmas field and so forth and so on.
Where was that?
That was on the Bushland Church in Birmingham.
Were there many Scandinavians in that?
No.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't think there are.
What sort of groups have you joined here?
I joined this what they call the Danish Sisterhood in San Francisco, and the reason for that was that I was a very sick Danish that committed to at that time.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't now anymore because I can't afford that. So it's mostly I still belong and pay my dues about $4 a year.
Mm-hmm.
After I've been there for 50 years, so only charge $4 a year, I think.
So how long when did you join that organization?
1925.
1925?
Mm-hmm.
So then you've been in that group for 56 years?
Mm-hmm. I've been there. In fact, I'm saying I got to turn to the other side of my life.
Why did you join that group?
I was kind of a sick benefit, I think, mostly. And then everyone was, that was the thing to do.
What sort of benefit was that?
Well, when you were sick, then you would get, I think, only $7.50 a week or something like that. But a certain amount of time, I forgot my personal finance.
It was sort of like medical insurance then?
Yes. Mm-hmm. But now, when I die, I get them. And I expect that's $250 for donor arrangement, which I don't have, but
What other sorts of,
what
other sorts of organizations do you belong to?
Well, then I belong to the senior citizens here in Burlington.
And what sort of group is that?
Well, that's for people that are over 55. And we have meetings about once a week. Just children, we have a little entertainment, we live in our own lives and so forth. But I quit that too because I quit sharing everything.
Any other groups that you belong to?
No, that's all.
What about community service organizations? Don't you belong to a group that does good deeds?
Oh, yes.
What's the name of that group?
The Country Visiting Service.
And what do you do for them?
I go and visit a lady every week, and she talks to me and tells me about her.
Mm-hmm.
And I just listen to her.
Mm-hmm.
As a rule.
Where does she live by herself?
Yeah, she lives with her daughter and son-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And
how old is she?
I think she's 86 or something. She's older than her. And then I do a little shopping for her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. I used to have another lady, she passed away. The first, I lived here, not in Kelowna, Fort Colvin, because I didn't have any car or anything, so it had to be.
Is this lady, is she able to get out?
No, she has our eyes, she's in 6 months, blue to our eyes.
I see. How long have you belong to that group?
10 years.
10 years?
Mm-hmm.
And do you do any special thing at Christmas for them?
We have a group.
Do you send Christmas cards?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. Then I send the Christmas cards to people that don't. The lady that is in charge of this has visitors and shows.
Mm-hmm.
I asked her years ago if there wasn't someone, if I couldn't do something for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So she said then, I said, I know some people that are young and lonely that would like the Christmas card. And she said, yes. So I sent Christmas cards for, I think that's about 5 years, to about 12 people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any other people from, so that's about the end of that.
Okay, have you ever visited Denmark since you left in?
Yes, twice.
And when was that?
1936 to 1969.
Okay.
2 years ago, I'm in Denmark.
What was it like in 1936 when you went and visited?
Yeah, it was things are very expensive, and I'm thinking of talking about the if I thought they're going to be a war, that was a big kind of time that people started in Germany.
Mm-hmm. What did they say about Hitler when you were there?
Like, they were just down there, they didn't know the crap, but they knew there was something going on down there.
Mm-hmm. When did Hitler invade Denmark?
I think in 1942.
When he did invade Denmark, did you still have contact with your relatives?
No, I couldn't get any mail. To start with, I got a few letters, but they were sent up by the Germans.
Mm-hmm.
And sent up by the Germans. And when that stopped, there was a letter hiding.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would get a greeting about once a month to Red Cross.
Hmm.
And then I would send a greeting back to Red Cross.
Okay. So when did your father die?
He died during the war.
And how did you find out about that?
Well, that was very odd, yeah. There was a Danish paper published in the East,
mm-hmm.
I forgot the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
And someone out here to type it. And he has a Danish name from Denmark, and Amanda sent him an obituary, was
mm-hmm.
his name.
Mm-hmm.
So these people were some friends of mine, in fact, and they had come, and his sister,
mm-hmm.
and said that I ought to know about it. So we can know that I'm told it.
This is a paper published in America, in
yeah.
New York?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How did the people in Brentwood, New York, find out
about it? That I don't know. I don't know what the sources they have to find that out.
What did you do when you found out?
Nothing. I couldn't do anything. I don't think do anything. No, I couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. What about 1969 when you visited? Where did you go then?
Well, I visited all over Denmark, but I stayed with some sister-in-law from Copenhagen and then from there. And then I had other friends from Copenhagen and Elizabeth. And then I went to New Zealand and came out to them. To New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you enjoy the visit?
Yeah,
to New
Zealand? Yeah.
Had it changed a lot, Denmark?
No.
Was it more
modern?
Yeah,
well, maybe it was, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess it was.
What contact do you have with people who are still there now?
Just by letters.
Who do you keep in touch with?
Well, the one thing is two of your grandfather's sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have not been to see them and they were there, but Elizabeth Alton said that there were no time for us and they were very old and sick.
Elizabeth who?
Violet.
And who's that?
My niece.
That's
my sister's daughter.
Your sister's daughter. And where does she live?
She's a minister.
Okay. And she's married to
yeah, minister.
Another minister. Is your heritage, your Danish heritage, important to you?
Yes.
How come?
Well, I'm kind of proud of being born in Denmark. I would have been proud of being born here too, for that matter. But
mm-hmm.
I'm proud of being born in Denmark.
Does your family have a reunion?
We used to have in the olden days, but that all that.
No, it's when you were in Denmark.
Yeah, many years ago.
You don't have
I think it was my father that started it, in fact. He got in contact with his family.
Mm-hmm. Is In what ways do you still use the Danish language?
Well, I have love up to my family.
Okay, Mama, this is about Holger Dansk. Can you read that for me in Danish?
No, Morten Jan Kastrup in Hansberg. Absolutely, I mean, the whole world. Du så jeg, der har det danske, og ingen fra Morten Skjern.
Okay, thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No.
Thank you very much, Mama.